you're anything like me, you are a huge fan of true crime and dark humor merchandise. Otis B. Dredd's here to tell you about the best place to get all of your true crime and dark humor swag. That's right, truecrime7.store. True crime, spell out seven, SEVEN.store. The only place you need to go for true crime and dark humor. I'm going to tell you what, this place has some really great prices. You can't beat their prices. 30-day money-back guarantee if you are not happy, and I guarantee you will be. Free shipping on order, $75 and up. 24-hour online support. What kind of stuff can you get, Otis, you may be asking? You can get t-shirts, you can get hoodies, coffee mugs, cutting boards, posters, pillows. And if you search for them over there on Amazon, you can also check out their reading material. That's right, they publish books as well. Stay up to date with all the new merchandise and great deals on all their products. Follow them on Facebook, follow them on Twitter, sign up for their newsletter and get all the latest info about new products. Tell you what, you are not going to regret going to truecrime7.store, and at the checkout, don't forget promo code NLD to get you a 10% discount on your entire order. That's right, truecrime7, SEVEN.store. Tell them Otis sent you. And remember, stay curious, keep it creepy, and don't get murdered.
Hi, this is David Howard Thornton, but you might know me as Art the Clown from the movie Terrifier, and you're listening to the Night of the Living Dreads podcast. Kill you later.
Here we go, episode 66 here in the Insane Asylum. That's right, Night of Living Dreads podcast. I am Otis B. Dreads, and we got a good one tonight. I'm joined by Mrs. Dreads. Mrs. Dreads, how are you?
I'm good. Tired.
You're tired, are you? Mm-hmm. And we have... Mr. Don Skirl, a.k.a. Chiller the Clown. How are you, my friend?
Don Skirl here. They let me go.
Oh, my God.
I've been running up through down up and down the halls, through the doors, everything.
You're about to get one of them multicolor pills again.
I did get a multicolor pill.
Yeah. Oh, you're
it
hit.
Was awesome.
Awesome.
It was awesome. I stole some ice cream from out of the freezer. It was awesome too.
What kind of ice cream?
Cherry.
Is it like a cherry cordial or just cherry?
Oh, it was creamy.
Cherry. Oh, good Lord. A creamy cherry.
Have chocolate in it?
Yeah. Huh?
Did it have chocolate pieces in it?
No, it didn't have no chocolate pieces
so
in it.
It's just cherry.
No, I checked. I had to check. I don't need no chocolate pieces in.
All right. What do you have anything else to say about your ice cream, my friend?
Yeah, it was like Ben and Jerry's tasting. You know, it's that good, funky ice cream, you know? It's awesome.
Well, I mean, that's great. I'm glad you're happy. You know, are you dealing well in your cell here in the insane asylum? Are you being treated well?
I'm not currently in my cell right now, and I haven't been for about 2 or 3 days now.
He's just
the white coat came to my cell and told me that they were going to lock me up, and I had a little surprise for them. Don't say nothing, Otis, but they're duct taped in my cell right now to the wall.
My goodness. Duct taped to the wall?
duct tape to the wall.
My goodness. I got nothing.
And then I beat him with my rubber chicken.
Is rubber chicken code word for something?
No, it's an actual rubber chicken. Yeah.
Well, I mean, hey, the rubber chicken is Mr. Don Skrull, a.k.a. Chiller the Clown. You can check out, your Facebook group over there. Chiller Presents Carnival of Souls.
Exactly right.
Now, you guys do watch parties on Saturday evenings. That's 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Yes. Eastern, right?
Yes.
What did you guys just play here recently?
We played The Boy too.
What was how'd you like that movie?
It sucked. I mean, it wasn't for me. I mean, a lot of people like it and stuff. It was just PG-13, and right. It's mostly like Chucky.
I wasn't big on the first one.
I don't even think I've seen all of the first one all the way through. You said it was kind of like a doll or something.
It is a doll.
Yeah.
It is a doll. And it's haunted. It's the little boy and it's his doll. It looks like the little boy.
A story of a boy and his doll.
In his doll.
And his doll. That's what I said.
Like his spirit's in the doll.
Oh,
and, yeah. So, I mean, it's one of those Chucky things.
The creepiest part of the first one was the grandparents or whatever parents.
That was about the creepiest part of the movie in the first one, and the second one is just I didn't like. Well, it ain't stupid. It's just not my forte.
Okay.
Just a big word.
So, yeah, it is. I mean, it is kind of big for you. What other movies, just so, listeners know what they can expect. They can't always, expect, shitty movies, right? Or ones that you consider shitty. What's some other movies you've put on over there at Chiller Presents Carnival of Souls?
We've put on Halloween by Rob Zombie.
Nice.
Three from Hell. A lot of Rob Zombie movies. We're really into the Rob Zombie movies. And a lot of like killer movies. We do a lot of killers.
Did you guys do The Turning?
The Turning?
Mm-hmm.
I think so.
I think that was one a few weeks ago, yeah.
Yeah, it was a pretty good movie.
Was it?
We play a little bit of everything. It just depends on what we feel like playing or what we think the fans would like. Sometimes we do polls over there to see what the fans like. So, yeah, come over there and check us out over there at Chiller Presents Carnival Souls.
That's right.
Get some older stuff in there.
And check out us, actually, Night of the Living Dreads.
That's right.
While you're at it.
Dreads with No A. We're over there on Facebook. We're over there on Spotify. We're over there on Stitcher. Also, nightofthelivingdreads.com is where you can listen to this podcast, if that even crosses your mind. or any past podcast, which I do personally recommend the Ogopogo episode.
Is it the float log turds in the water?
My goodness. They did give you the multicolored pill, didn't they?
Yeah, they did.
I'll be a son of a bitch. Anyway, so, tonight we're all going to talk about the Atlanta Ripper.
And that don't mean he farted either.
No. No. Otherwise, he'd be the Atlanta cut the cheeser. That was cheese. Horrible.
The cheese rip.
Oh, that was so funny because we were talking about you doing that earlier.
Yeah, we were.
Ogre.
Because Kurt was doing it on the Ogopogo, and I was waiting. I was waiting for you to stop mid sentence and do it, but
yeah,
because that would have been hilarious.
Oh yeah.
So we're gonna talk the Atlanta Ripper, not that yeah Ripper. Very similar to Jack the Ripper.
Almost like copycat.
Yeah. It is almost it's very much a copycat type deal. Don, why don't you start us out? Give us a little background, and of course, I've got I can't shut up, so I got my opinions.
He's the Atlanta Ripper. Well, back in and he started killing in 1911. He was an African American guy, pretty big, tall in stature, you know, like big man. But he went on a killing spree in Atlanta in the alleyways and stuff from like 1911 to 1914.
I heard it was 1911, 1912. That was only about a year and a half. If that.
Well,
where are you getting your information, sir?
The documentary on YouTube, actually.
Lies. All lies.
Oh, Jesus.
I guess it could be, speculated the years because, early 1900s, how much information is really being documented that we have now?
True.
They documented, shit back then. But how much do we have now to prove, and tell a true story? But anyway, so 1911 to, roughly 1913, whatever. What did this guy do? Because it was pretty similar to Jack the Ripper.
He was a brutal killer. They never found out who he was exactly. They
unsolved.
It was a big mess there. They rounded up people that were actually innocent and tried to pin the murders on them.
They were all black folk though, because this was said and suspected to be a they're sugar. She's just barking at nothing. Sugar Dreads. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, Sugar B. Dreads. Atlanta at that time was, a predominantly, black city. Okay. Maybe it is now, but, there was a lot of really poor regions and downtrodden, type, people, and they just happened to be, fucking black. Well,
they were African American and mulatto mixed race.
Yes.
The killer started in the year 1911 and started his murder spree. We don't know for what reasons, but he targeted women that wore nice shoes and were fairly attractive. Women probably around, 20 to 30 years old, something like that.
And they weren't all like, like prostitutes or.
None of them were.
Right. That's what I thought. None of them were. As in with the Jack the Ripper story, they were all, prostitutes and whatnot that were murdered. That was not the case here.
Like I said, I don't know what the motivation of the murders were.
Psychopath.
Basic psychopath. he was really keen on the women's shoes. It's something to do, I'd say, with maybe family or something like that. I mean, I'm just guessing, but, you know, or the shoes that they wore.
Yeah, yeah. We don't know a whole lot about the guy, but that is weird that, you know, some of his victims, yes, he just took the shoes. Not like cut them off, you know, of the person and take the foot too, you know. It wasn't like that. He just took the fucking shoes.
He had a shoe fetish.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. He was known as the Phantom or Black Jack the Ripper. He was a brutal killer. He liked to slice his victims from ear to ear, almost decapitating them.
Yeah, yeah. Almost all of the victims, and there was how many? What, about 20?
Yes, there was 20 to 24 victims. Before he magically just kind of stopped, which was kind of odd too. I mean, and they never really captured him, and he just stopped after he hit a certain number, which most serial killers keep going until they're stopped.
Right, right. Very true.
I mean, as far as I know. But yeah, I mean, this guy was pretty brutal. He would also, one of his trademarks is he would also bash the skulls in of their of his victims, yes. which was pretty brutal. And
sometimes like a fist size rock, he would just like crush their head in, you know, knock them out at least, and then slit their throat like you were talking. And there were some victims. And we can talk about the daughter that was waiting, you know, her mom, you know, I think was going to the store or something. And you know,
yeah.
Right. Yeah. Tell us a little bit about that, because that's a really interesting kill to me, because what he just, it was so cow. And I don't know how I have to call almost borderline bullshit. There was a quote that is stated in the documentaries and other different podcasts that, yes, you know, he said that, don't worry, I don't hurt girls like you. And then stabs her in the back. Who the fuck? Where did that quote come from? I mean, who can document that and say that was fact?
I don't know. I mean,
that is creepy, though.
She lived. The daughter lived.
Yes.
Yeah, she lived. So I guess she remembered, you know, the whole situation, but.
And she gave a description.
Right.
Yeah. But to be stabbed in the back, you know.
Yeah, it's such when you're stabbed. He's
a really good friend to be, you know, stabbing her in the back like that, double crossing her. Oh, no. She was actually stabbed in the back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And she took off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But didn't she end up being attacked by him, not but like a block or so away from where her mother's body was lying or something of that nature?
Yes. Yeah. It was just, he just came out of the shadows.
Yeah.
Of course, back then it wasn't well lit in the streets at night. You know, it's 1911, you know.
Right.
You know, they didn't have, you know, very good lighting. I think gaslight was still.
A lot of gaslighting, just like in the Jack the Ripper, in the UK, across the pond.
So, I mean, you know, he came out of the shadows and stood in, I mean, the victim said that he was a very intimidating looking person. Big statured guy. She gave a description that he was a black guy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he was, very intimidating.
Yeah, he was a very tall guy, a black guy. I think he had, you know, he was described as being, like, well-dressed, almost like in a suit, just a very, you know, well-dressed man, and a hat. And like a top hat. I mean, almost, it's like the Negro version of Jack the Ripper.
Right. And there's some reports that he disemboweled a lady.
Yes.
Went to the efforts of disemboweling a lady and ripping her heart out
and setting it next to her.
Yeah. And you know, that's pretty brutal for a murder. I mean, you think about that. That's pretty sick.
That you know, unless you have, just like Jack the Ripper, you know, which a lot of people said about Jack the Ripper, was that the cuts were so precise and it was so quick. It was almost that he had a knowledge of, you know, the anatomy, and you know, he knew where to cut, and it was very precise. Like, his instruments were, like, you know, surgically, you know, sharp, that type of deal. And it's almost the same here. Very quick, you know, you just cut someone open, pull all their guts out, take their heart out, set it next to them. I mean, how much time would it take you, Skrull, to take and do that to someone?
Well, it would take me a while. I'm not a very tall person, and I'm broad, but I'm round too. And
you're as tall as you are wide.
Yeah, I'm like a snowman.
Right.
But you know, and I found something. Happy birthday! But I found something interesting here. It said none of the women had been raped.
Right.
But from the nature of the mutilations, it was apparent that the crimes were sexual in nature.
That's interesting. But that none of them appeared to be raped.
Right.
So how do you feel? Mrs. Dredds, being a woman, how do you feel? Okay, you have all these women being, you know, slashed up, mutilated, disemboweled, heart pulled out, set on their side. And that is said to be, you know, like sexually, you know, motivated somehow. How do you see that?
I don't know. They say with a lot of serial killers that the kill is what arouses them. And it doesn't always have to be about physical.
That, very true. Good point. Yes. So basically it was the kill that aroused them. Mm-hmm. Sexually, they didn't have to, you know, rape them, you know, stick their dick in them, whatever. They didn't have to do that.
Right. They didn't have to have intercourse.
Right. That's right. What I meant by stick your dick in them. So
there's a hokey pokey and you turn yourself around. And that's what it's all about.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you didn't have to, you know, actually have, you know, rape, have sex with the dead. It was the actual killing and the brutality.
Right.
That brought about sexual arousal.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
So, I mean.
What did she expect me to say?
I should have muted her 3 seconds ago.
I just feel like I'm repeating myself at this point.
No, you're not.
Okay, well, you know, the Ripper. The Ripper.
I'm going, yeah, I'll do that all show. You know that.
Oh, yeah. You got to expect that.
Right.
I really like that.
So the Ripper, what? Go ahead. Sorry, I'll let you finish.
But yeah, I mean, there was cases that I think maybe one or two cases that the victim got away. One was the lady that got stabbed in the back, and there was another one that was out and she was near a guy, and the guy pulled a gun on the Ripper and chased him through the alleyways and stuff, and the Ripper got away from him, of course. But yeah, I mean, most of the people that he got a hold of, he took the shoes,
right,
and he cut them from ear to ear, you know, and almost decapitated him.
Yeah, yeah. Well, one of the victims was damn near decapitated. Okay, I mean, that takes a lot of strength.
Oh yeah.
I would think. I mean, you gotta like you have to saw that shit off.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like just like cut. I mean, you'll cut through meat and, you know, flesh and whatever, you know, one good swipe. But one good swipe, you're not gonna, you know, damn near decapitate him.
Right.
That son of a bitch was sawing.
Yeah, he was putting some pressure against it, for right. sure. And it was said that the Governor Hoke Smith offered a $250 reward for the Ripper's capture. So they were actively looking for this guy, and even actually put out a reward for the guy. It was seen that back in those times, mm-hmm. that the police didn't give much attention to these type of murders
to the black folk, especially if it happened to the black folk. Yes,
African American folk, and they overlooked things, but it was so grisly and so bloody of murders, and they had to pay attention.
Well, here's an interesting fact. It wasn't until the 8th murder of this alleged, 20, murders, the 8th murder finally made the front page
of the paper.
Of the paper, yes. Of the Atlanta Constitution was the name of the paper. Made the front page. It took 8 or 7 murders of black women that now they would be in the paper, but they would be in small little boxes, about 5-6 pages in, right next to an ad or something, you're right. I mean, it was a very, very, I guess racial time. You know, I mean, black folks, were not thought very highly, but yet it was very predominant in Atlanta.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. But, I mean, there's not really much else to say, as far as the murders go. It's pretty well the same thing over and over again. Of course, that's pretty much what a serial killer does, is they go around and, do the same things mostly to their victims.
Yeah, he pretty much kept it at a normal kill on what he was doing.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, he did target mixed race women, too.
Mm-hmm.
I want to add that in there, you
then
know.
The last then the last one he killed that they know of, they refer to her as a comely yellow girl.
A yellow girl?
Yeah.
What is she, Chinese, Japanese, and then what they call them? Yellow belly.
And, I have found something that says it. I knew it stretched, I thought, to 1914, but it says March 1914, 3 full years after the Ripper murders had begun, firefighters found notes pinned to the fireboxes around the city. The author of the notes promised to cut the throats of all Negro women who were found in the streets after a certain hour of the night. The newspaper attributed to the notes to the Jack the Ripper.
Yes.
So.
Very similar. Jack the Ripper did the same thing. We see that with a lot of serial killers. But, I mean, mainly with, you know, Jack the Ripper, it was right around the same time. Okay, late 1800s, early 1900s. And Jack, you know, took and sent, you know, letters to the police. We've seen that with a lot of serial killers once again. So very eerie, though.
But you see, he did it at the perfect time. He talks about a certain hour of night, only doing it on Saturday nights, where they considered Saturday nights for, like, black people. That was their night that they just let loose. So
Saturday was all the Negro night?
So you figure that they're all out in the streets doing whatever they want to do. So he's conspicuous. He can get away with it because nobody's paying attention.
Oh yeah.
And then it finally says that no reward was ever collected for his capture. No real suspect was ever punished. And to this day, the murders are still
unsolved.
So.
Yeah, and there were actually, you know, a few suspects. A lot of them,
There was quite a few suspects.
Yeah.
They just kept arresting people.
Yeah, they just kept, because they had no idea. They went on, you know, the eyewitness, okay, the girl, it was a, you know, big black man, you know, well-dressed and a top hat or whatnot, and so they just, you know, targeted, you know, all black men.
Right. They did. It was like six or eight men.
Yeah.
They questioned and captured, you know, and gave a hard time to, you know.
But, none of them panned out. They had no evidence, you know, with any of these murders.
Right. Well, lack of evidence. They even went so far as to say that Jack, this Jack the Ripper copycat murderer, it wasn't just one man; it was several.
Right. Men. They said the same thing about Jack the Ripper.
Right.
Is this another, you know, like one of those? You know, just what do you call them? Oh, damn it! Urban legend. I mean, it's not an urban legend because, you know, people died. It happened. Right.
Right.
But it, you know, I mean, this is like so almost exact type copycat killer.
Yeah, it's so
eerie.
It is eerie, but, you know, through the years with all these serial killers, you know, there's a few, I can't think right offhand. I know there's copycat killers, yes. You know, that copied.
Cats.
Yeah, copies. Thundercats.
Oh!
But, yeah.
No, and, yeah, I mean, you know, Jack the Ripper, you know, it was also theorized that the literal Jack the Ripper, okay, because, you know, in the whole, you know, story of Jack the Ripper, the, you know, a major news print publication out of New York stated, headlines, you know, Jack the Ripper comes to New York. It was publicized that, you know, Jack the Ripper came across the pond to the U.S. It was theorized that Jack the Ripper was H.H. Holmes. It was also theorized that the Atlanta Ripper was also Jack the Ripper, which I find bullshit. I don't see it as that.
No. There was a French Jack the Ripper.
Yes, yes.
I can't think of his name.
I can't. But, we wouldn't be able to pronounce it anyway. Mrs. Dredge, what do you think about the theory of Jack the Ripper coming across the pond, and going to Atlanta and killing, black girls?
I don't know.
You don't know? Yeah, I really don't. So you're on the fence? What?
I don't know. I think it was more a coffee hat thing than it was the actual Jack the Ripper.
Absolutely. I do too, really. I think we're all probably in agreement with that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he was well known.
Who, Jack the Ripper? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
At least he wasn't Jack the Stripper.
Depends on how well hung he was, huh?
That would have made an interesting show, though. That would have been funny.
Jack the Stripper?
Yeah.
Jack the Stripper. My God.
He runs around killing everybody in nothing but a trench coat.
And he flashes them before guilt.
Right, I was thinking the same thing. He's naked under a trench coat. He just has a trench coat and a fucking top hat on.
I'm going to beat you to death with my meat hammer.
My meat hammer.
Say, I got a pan of guano that's going to bite you to death.
Oh, my God. That's hilarious, man. And, just like Jack the Ripper, this is one of those ones that, is unsolved.
Yep.
Jack the Stripper. or as our friend here in the insane asylum, Bobby, would say, Jack T. Ripper.
Oh, yeah.
See?
Oh, yep. There he is.
Or Jack Tripper.
He's living with Jack two Tripper. White chicks.
Jack Tripper, Jack T. Ripper.
Come and knock on our door. We can have something.
Yeah. Literally, really got something.
Kisses are hers and hers and his. Three's company, too. Boop, boop, boop.
Oh, man. I can see a guy walking down the alley and he's been like, surprise, bitch.
Surprise, bitch.
That's how he shocks them.
They're like, oh my God. Then he throws a rock and hits them right in the head.
Yep. Smacks
him in the head. Oh my God. That was great. Surprise, bitch. Oh my goodness. Oh my God. I mean, it's crazy. And, it appears as if you have triggered the white coats.
I have. Oh God, now I'm going to have to tape up some more to the wall.
That's right. All right. Hey, thank you, Mr. Don Skrull, a.k.a. Chiller the Clown. Chiller presents Carnival of Souls. NightLivingDreads.com, NightLivingDreads on Facebook. Listen to the podcast, Stitcher, Spotify. We'll talk to you next week.
I'm alone and scared. I lost my mommy. Can you help me? All I wanted to do was play with you. Please come and play with me. I'm so lonely. Why do you seem so scared? I know things no one knows. We're going to die.